Good morning, America. This is the Cats Roundtable. We believe in expanding our mind on a Sunday morning. This morning, again, we're going to talk about outer space. We have Professor Avi Loeb. The professor is the chair of astronomy department at Harvard University. Good morning, Professor. How are you this morning?
Good morning. Very well.
Now, so many things have been happening in outer space. The Chinese are trying to surpass what we're doing. The Russians have that space station. And there was an interesting item a few months ago that there was this theoretical comet that was going by, but it's not really a comet. Tell the American people what it was and what the name of it was and what you think it is.
Yes, this object is called Oumuamua. It's a name that was given in Hawaii. Oumuamua means a scout. It's the very first object that was discovered near the Earth that originates from outside the solar system. In other words, it was born near another star. And the question is, how does it look and what is it? It's similar to having a guest for dinner and noticing that the guest came from another country. And then by speaking to that guest, you can learn about the culture of that other country without going there, without paying the airline ticket. So that's what makes it interesting. But then by the time we collected some information about this guest, it left through the open door into the dark street. And we were left with a lot of puzzles. So this object doesn't look anything like the asteroids or comets that we have seen before in the solar system, that were born in the solar system. First of all, it has a very extreme shape. It's at least 10 times longer than it is wide, or maybe even 20 times longer than it is wide, projected on the sky. Because what we see is the reflected sunlight from it, and we can tell that the brightness of the object changes by at least a factor of 10 as it tumbles. And so that by itself is a very extreme shape that we don't see among comets or asteroids. At most, they usually have a change by a factor of 3 between the long axis and the short axis. But this object also deviated from an orbit that one expects based on the sun's gravitational force. And sometimes such deviations, very often in the solar system, they are caused by the cometary outgassing, the fact that there is ice on the surface of a comet that heats up by sunlight, and as a result of it absorbing sunlight, it evaporates and creates a rocket effect that pushes the comet. But we often see a cometary tail behind the comet, and that's why we call them comets. In this case, we haven't seen a cometary tail. We haven't seen any gas around this object, and nevertheless, it changed its course. And so the object looks very peculiar, and there are many more.
And that was very strange,
strange facts about it. Yes. In a Scientific American article that I wrote. And then the interesting question is, what's pushing it? And one thing that I could think of is that the sunlight that is reflected from it is pushing it, just like air that is bouncing off a sail pushes a sailboat. So, you know, there is this concept of a light sail, where you push a sail by light, reflecting light off it. And this is a technology that we are currently developing ourselves for space exploration. And if that is the case with this object, if it's a sail that is pushed by sunlight, and that's what's giving it this extra push that we noticed, then maybe it's a message in a bottle. Maybe it's some technological equipment that was produced by another civilization out there. And so it opens an interesting prospect for actually learning about whether there are alien civilizations just by looking at objects that entered the solar system. It's sort of like going to the beach, looking at seashells that were swept ashore, and every now and then you see a bottle that is artificially made. And we should simply explore all the objects that enter the solar system and check each and every one of them if they look strange.
Well, our Voyager has left the solar system a couple of weeks ago. Now, has this probe ever come before, or is this the first time we noticed it?
No, it's the first time, and the reason we know that it is the first time is because it's unbound to the sun. It moves too fast to be bound to the sun. So it's the very first object we see near us that is moving too fast to stay within the solar system, and there must be many more. And so the good news is that even though we are unable to chase this guest that we had for dinner down the street and learn more about it, there is another guest that is entering every now and then, and so we should for example, within 3 years, we will have a much more sensitive telescope called the Large Synoptic Survey Telescope that could detect many more of these. And we should just wait for the next one and study that next guest much more carefully. And I should also mention that there are some of these guests that remain trapped in the solar system. That as a result of passing very close to Jupiter, they become bound to the sun. And those are similar to dinner guests that bumped against the wall and stayed at our home. And so we can, in principle, study them as well. And so it's just exciting to recognize this new window about learning on the on whether there is another civilization out there or any other nursery that makes these objects.
Let me ask you, Professor. Chinese have landed a probe on the other side of the moon, and the rumor has been that they have started to grow a plant on the moon. What have you heard about this?
Well, the gravity on the moon is 1/6 of the gravity on Earth. So the idea here is simply to see how plants grow under a low gravity. And it's an interesting question, but I don't think it has major implications. In principle, you can do such experiments on Earth. You can sort of cancel the gravity of the Earth artificially in some lab experiments, and the same way that astronauts are training for space on the ground. And it's an interesting experiment. I think the long-term question is whether we can ever establish a colony on the moon where, and not just machines and
robots
will operate, but
time.
Also humans.
I think it's just a matter of time. I was, last Friday night, I was with Buzz Aldrin, our astronaut that landed on the moon and walked around, and it was his 89th birthday, so we got to sing happy birthday to him. And I wish that he could talk, but I'm sure he's not allowed to talk.
Yeah, I think space is the next frontier. It's clearly a very exciting thing to explore, learn about whether we are alone, for example, as we discussed before. But also,
Professor, we are not alone. The question is, where are they?
All of our eggs are currently in one basket on Earth, and it's a bit risky to do it this way, because if there is a catastrophe here on Earth, we will lose all of our eggs. And if we spread the eggs in other locations, if we have a colony on the moon, maybe Mars one day, this is something we should contemplate, because it's unlikely that we will be able to stay on Earth for a very long time.
Professor, I understand, and I think we could talk for an hour because we both like the same subjects. Professor Avi Loeb, Head of Astronomy, Harvard University, thank you so much for calling in this Sunday morning, and please keep searching.
Thank you.
Thank you. This is the Cats Roundtable. We'll be right back.